This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. عباد الله، أوصيكم نفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل، كما قال سبحانه وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا.
My brothers and sisters, as we approach the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, it is important that we learn what is required of us from our deen. And before I even discuss the first 10 days of the Hijjah, which is what I will leave for next week, inshallah, even though the 10 days will begin before next Friday, I will leave that topic for next week because there's a topic important for us to understand and plan for. And that is the udhi, the qurbani, the sacrifice of the animal that we make at this coming Eid al-Adha. And so, in the few minutes that I have, and we've been given only 10 minutes for the khutbah, in the few minutes that I have, I will try to address and answer some of the questions that many community members have related to the qurbani or udhiya and the sacrifice. Now, with the current climate of COVID-19 and this pandemic, a lot of things that were easy in the past became difficult for us. And one of the things that was already becoming more difficult was the ability to go and see an animal on our own. And so we see that alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that we have the capacity to empower others, to take it upon themselves to offer the sacrifice on our behalf. So the first thing that we look at, my brothers and sisters, is that this udhiyah, or this qurbani, the sacrifice, the sexual animal, it is a sunnah mu'akkada of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to the Hanafi madhab, they consider it something that is an obligation, right? It's an obligation according to the Hanafi scholars. However, majority of the scholars say that it is a sunnah mu'akkada, which means a sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never left off. And we know that in Surah Al-Kawthar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. So So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the importance of not only praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to Allah, but offering the sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Ibn Umar tells us, Abdullah ibn Umar, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived 10 years in Medina to Munawwara and offered the sacrifice every single year, the Eid al-Adha. We also see that the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever offers a sacrifice after the prayer, as in after the Eid prayer, has completed his rituals, as in has completed what is needed from us for Eid al-Adha, and as the Prophet ﷺ says, he has followed the way of the Muslims. So it's something that we are supposed to do. And we offer the sacrifice on either the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, which is the first day of Eid al-Adha, or the 11th, or even the 13th. And that is because those who go for Hajj have the ability to stay until that 13th day of Dhul Hijjah, and therefore needs to be performed before the sunset or before Maghrib on the 13th. So we have the 10th, the 11th, and the 13th that we offer the Udhiyah, the sacrifice. Now, if the animal is not able, or we are not able to sacrifice an animal now or here in Canada, can we pay an organization like a relief or charity organization to offer that sacrifice on our behalf? Yes, that is something that is permissible. And we see that it is permissible, especially if in other countries or other cities, other towns, other areas of the world, there are people that are more poor or more deserving than you and I. They don't have as much food as we have. They don't have as much wealth as we have. They don't have as many resources as we have. And therefore, it is important to encourage them after them as well. Now, the animal that we sacrifice could be a sheep, could be a goat, could be a lamb. We can also share a portion, or as we use the term, share. We buy a share. In 7 families will part in sharing an animal. And as larger animals, for example, a cow or an animal or a bull, right? Sharing in that altogether. And this is why you'll see some people will ask this question that some relief or charity organizations have, for example, dollars for the Qurbani in some countries. And here in Canada, it's $150 to $400. Why is there a difference? And the difference really is that in Canada, we're looking at it in terms of purchasing a sheep or a goat for each family, as opposed to purchasing a sheep and an animal in another country, where the price would be a lot cheaper. What we should do, my brothers and sisters, is get our current situation or our current area and try to give an amount that is equal to what we have to pay here. Someone says, you know what, it's $250 somewhere else, but $350 over here in Canada, and I prefer it in another country, then that's okay. The point is that we fulfill the sacrifice of the animal. Who has to sacrifice? So the animal is sacrificed for the entire family. Not one animal for the father, and one for the mother, and one for every one of the children. One animal is sufficient for the household, and that is if a person has surplus wealth. A person has $400, $200, $300 extra that they can use towards it. But if a person is going to put their family in a position that they are starving in order to sacrifice that animal, then that is when that person does not have to offer that. But I think for the most part, for us here in Canada, you know, we are able to fulfill that. Very quickly, my brothers and sisters, 2 last points. Firstly, can I include my parents or someone else in the intention that I have to sacrifice the animal? And And the answer to that, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam included Hamza radiallahu anhu at one of the times when he was sacrificing an animal for his self and his family, but he included in his intention Hamza radiallahu anhu. And another question that many people ask is, do I have to refrain from cutting my hair or trimming my nails if I'm going to be offering the sacrifice? And that is according to the deen, that if someone intends to offer the sacrifice, then from the first of the month, they refrain from trimming their hair and trimming their nails until the animal is sacrificed. But this specifically applies to those who are going to be sacrificing their own animal. So if someone else is going to be sacrificing on behalf, you can still observe this sunnah and refrain from clipping your nails and your hair, or if you want to trim your hair and your nails because someone else is sacrificing the animal on your behalf. I hope that was clear and easy for rushing through it because of the time. We can conclude by sending peace and blessings upon the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidum majid. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وارزقنا وعافنا اللهم بارك لنا في ديننا ودنيانا اللهم تقبل منا اعمالنا الصالحه يا رب العالمين يا رب الله سبحانه وتعالى to help us and to grant us peace throughout this difficult time. يا رب الله سبحانه وتعالى to make it easy for us to go back to normal we need to be normal. يا رب الله سبحانه وتعالى to grant us health and ease and safety and protection and to forgive us of our sins and to make it easy for us to reach the coming days of the future. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those that try to fast as much as we can throughout those days. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Inna Allah yamuru bil adli wal-ihsani wa ita'i dhil-qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal-munkari wal-baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Udhkurukum wa ad'uhu yastajib lakum wa ladhikrullahi akbar. Allahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. Allah. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
If we can pray our sunnah at home or somewhere else, that would be great. Please try to exit as formally as possible. We do have another prayer in a few minutes, inshallah. JazakAllah khair for the patience.
Assalamualaikum. How are you, family? Alright, so remember how they do the like line and cuts and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say someone wanted to like give a quick book.
Okay.
Like, what qualifications do you need to do that? Didn't I teach you the whole trick of delivering a khutbah last semester?
No, I don't think so.
No? Okay, so we can do a course on that if you want.
We could actually do like a crash course on like khutbah training. And, very simple, very easy. Just give you the Arabic part, which is super easy to memorize because we've heard it 100,000 times and we know it. And then it's really basic. You just quote one ayah, one hadith, and that's really all you need. So we'll do it, inshallah. We could do a training on that. Just reach out to me, I think on Instagram or something, right? And then we'll set something up.
Okay. Salam
Yeah, so the scholars differ on Western countries and the timing of Isha based on calculations of, you know, the sunset and sunrise. Because the days are so long, they allow for some flexibility in the timing of Isha. Personally, I think this is something I've brought up with the management. I think it should be later. It can be a little bit earlier than the set timing, but we're like half an hour earlier.
Yeah.
So
my wife and, you know, my mother-in-law and
at home, they wait, and in the masjid, we pray early. I know.
Right.
But see, there is the actual timing for Isha begins when the sky has no more redness of Maghrib in it. So when you see that the sky has gone black and the stars are visible, then that's the beginning time for Isha. So many of the scholars will say, you know what, over here, we do see the sky is black and the redness of the sky is gone. It's a very fine line. However, it is preferred for us to delay if we can, but there is the permissibility to pray a little bit earlier because the days in this part of the world are so long in the summer. To be honest, if you follow the timing of your local masjid, then that is okay, right? right? That's okay, because that's a timing that was set by the local masjid for the community.
Right.
So if you follow the 10:30 of the masjid, then that's okay.
Yeah, you're at home with your dog, but you pray and then the adhan going a little.
Yeah.
Right? But we have to hear the adhan.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. If it's okay, I guess it's better to wait until the adhan goes.
It is
right?
Better. Yeah, it would be.
But if there's any urgency, then you can do it.
That's right. Everything good?
Yeah.
How are you?